This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So two outs on two strikeouts. The 0-2, swing and a miss, struck him out, and he'll just dust his hands. Another ho-hum 1-2-3 inning for the spectacular rookie of the Pirates, Jared Jones. Here's the pitch. And he fell down, and he's down on strikes. Terang was blown up by that slider.
Now I do.
Swing and a miss, he struck him out. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Jared Jones looks like he's on another planet. This guy is unreal. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Jared Jones. 7 strikeouts for Jones. He's just the 4th pitcher ever to start his career 5 starts of 7 or more strikeouts in each.
The ability to command the ball and strike zone. You don't see that out of guys that have played 10 years sometimes. And the fact that he's done it and the fact that, you know, he's got another tough test tonight because the Brewers are a good lineup, but he's done it against some good lineups too. So overall, I think the ability to just control himself has been really impressive.
Jared Jones is a freaking phenom. You don't need us to tell you. The statistics back it up, but forget analytics. Forget any of those things. We'll get to them. They're important just to contextualize just how good this young man is. I don't know that we've ever seen anything quite like him, certainly not here in Pittsburgh. I saw Pony tweet out Garrett Cole's stats for his first 5 starts. Jared Jones puts him to shame.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett Cole was very good. This guy's got zero fear. He's throwing fastballs by people through the heart of the plate. And just when you think you might have a beat on the fastball, he's going to throw a changeup up there, which we hadn't seen a lot of prior to last night. He's going to bite off that breaking ball, which is just filthy. He's hitting dudes on the back foot, basically, and they're swinging and falling over and then laughing because of how good this guy is. All the while, he's got the shirt unbuttoned. He does not emote on the mound unless he's pissed off at himself. Guys, we are witnessing, frankly, baseball history here, and we are witnessing, hopefully, one of the two guys that'll be taking the ball for the Pirates the next time they play in and win a postseason series. You can't say enough about Jared Jones.
It's really, for me, about his confidence. And just from the start, it's not like he had to build up the confidence. And, you know, the first time we saw him take the mound in Major League Baseball, he had that confidence, and he wears that on his shoulder every single time he's out there. And You kind of just alluded to it a little bit, Crowley. Like, I mean, guys yesterday were kind of smirking. They were kind of giggling, laughing a little bit because it's like, how the hell do we even approach this? Like, how do we get a hit? Now, as the game goes on, it does slow down a little bit, and I think as the lineups go through a couple times, you do get a beat a little bit. But that first initial, you know, 2 innings that he throws, he's almost lights out. I mean – and I sat there last night and I was like, you know, I want to give the Pirates credit for Jared Jones. But at the same time, I'm like, did they really kind of luck into this situation? Not luck into the situation, but did they really know that he was going to be of this talent right away? I don't think so. I think they're like, hey, we're going to give a young guy an opportunity. We have a spot in our rotation. We know we're going to bring Skeens up. He's the talk of the town. Everybody wants to see Skeens. We're going to give this guy an opportunity and show you that it's going to take time to develop a young player. So that will kind of give us some leeway on Skeens. And now they've seen him day in and day out. We haven't. They probably know that he has stuff, and so does his teammates. But I don't think anybody in that organization thought that he would be what he is right now.
There's no chance
they thought. There's no chance, right?
There's no way that they thought he would be this guy. And I think your point is a good one. It's not something I had really thought about until we talked about this pre-show in our pre-show meeting, Doran. He was a top 100 prospect, but if he pitched like this in the minors, he'd be one of one.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be one of the best prospects in all of baseball. Not a top 100 prospect, but a top 10, top 5 prospect, maybe the best in the sport. Man, he pitched a significant amount of last season in AAA. He had 82 innings in AAA, 99 strikeouts, so that was there. But he had an ERA of 4.72. He had 34 walks. There were things that he did that made you go, ooh. But also, there were reasons to think, okay, he needs maybe more time to develop in AAA. And then he goes to spring training this year and dominates. And I think you're right that they didn't know what he would be. And I think that they only gave him the opportunity to pitch, not just because there was a hole in the rotation, but also kind of to satiate the masses here, Doran. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, you mentioned Skeens. He's the talk of the town. Skeens is also the talk of Major League Baseball, the talk of Minor League Baseball. He is a phenom. And the Pirates never had any designs, no matter how well Paul Skeens pitched in spring training, that he was going to be in the rotation. And so I think they put Jones in the rotation knowing that it's a bad look to have two guys dominate, two young arms dominate the way that these guys did in spring training and have neither of them in the rotation.
Right.
And they were never going to do it with Skeens. So, all right, we'll give you this. We'll give you a cup. We'll give you some crumbs here, Pirates fans. We're going to put him in the rotation just so you shut up about Skeens.
Yes.
You get one of the two.
Yes.
And it's been the Orioles, 101 wins last year, and he strikes out, what, 8 of them. It's the Phillies, a World Series contender this year. And it's now the Brewers, one of the best records in all of baseball in a lineup, up and down through the lineup. You got guys hitting, easy for me to say, buffering this early in the morning. You got guys who are hitting 300 up and down the lineup. And not only did he dominate, he made them look silly.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about what Skeens is doing in AAA. Jared Jones is doing to major league hitters what Paul Skeens is doing to minor league hitters. It is incredible. Incredible. And so the question is this, and this will be the subject of the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll today, brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement, TrustPJ.com. Are they going to win a playoff series with these guys? Because that's what it's all about. I feel pretty confident that you're going to see a Cy Young come from one of these two guys at some point in their Pirates career. They're that good. They're that special. They've got that kind of confidence. Are we going to see them win a playoff series for the first time since 1979? I hope so. That's why they're here.
I mean, if you in a perfect world and you draw this up and it all hits at the same time, I mean, you have Skeens, Jones, and then Keller's your third? I mean, yeah. So to answer your question, yes, I think that we will see them win a series. I will. If it all lines up the same and it lines up at the right timing and, you know, they're pitching the way they have been and they stay consistent, for sure. Why not? I mean, just by the way, yesterday that some of the hitters were just looking around like, I have
no clue.
No counter to this. No counter. Like, this is a guy that, and I'm sure that they went into this game and, you know, their manager was like, listen, this guy can throw. This guy can get you out. Like, so you got to be prepared. But, you know, as a Major League Baseball player and you're making a lot of money and you're one of the top players, and if you're on the Milwaukee Brewers, you're like, I ain't got to let no young 22-year-old get me out. Like,
yeah, we're going to go get him today.
This is his fifth start?
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth start? There's no way.
We're going to make him realize
Yes. This
is the majors today.
Yes.
Is probably how they're feeling.
Absolutely.
And they looked like fools.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say something here, and I hope I don't wind up with egg on my face. I'm not talking numerically, but in terms of development, I think Jones is only going to get better. And what I mean by that is he's throwing 100 a bunch early, 99 a bunch early. As we got into the fifth and sixth inning, he was throwing more 95, 96, still hard. That breaking ball still plays, and he battled through adversity in the final inning he pitched. And he had a hell of an at-bat in a back-and-forth with Rhys Hoskins after Rhys Hoskins homered off him earlier, and he wouldn't give him anything to hit. And Hoskins did a good job of not chasing, and so he walks him. But that was brilliant from a young pitcher. Where I think he'll get better is I think he'll be able to maintain that velocity later in the games the longer he does this and the longer the Pirates allow him to go out there and throw more pitches in outings. And I think he'll also pick his spots. Maybe early in games it won't be 99 or 100. Maybe it'll be 97, 98. And so then maybe in the 5th, 6th, 7th inning you're seeing more of the 99, 100. I think he might flip it. I think he might do the Verlander. Verlander is famous for early in starts, especially early in his career, would go 93, 94, 95. And then in the 9th inning he became his own closer. He's throwing 98, 100.
Mm-hmm.
I think that over time will develop for Jared Jones. But for him to admit even after the game that he was fatigued later on in the game, Doran, to pitch around Rhys Hoskins, to dance through the raindrops late, showed that it's not just the stuff, it's not just the confidence. Oh yeah, the kid knows how to pitch too.
And I mean, he only has really two pitches that he just relies on right now. I mean, he's going to learn other pitches. He's going to learn other sequences of,
yeah,
you know, during a game where he's gonna incorporate different pitches and, you know, make stuff look the same, and but it's actually not the same. I mean, even that the slider, whenever the, you know, what's his name, fell, you may see that more. Like, he's going to be able to develop as the time goes on to add to his arsenal as a pitcher. So alongside of what you're saying is that he's going to build that muscle memory that maybe he could pick and choose whenever he does want to throw 100 or he does want to throw 95 in different innings. He also is going to have an array of other pitches.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, throwing a bunch of different pitches, but even if he adds one to his arsenal that he's very confident in, you know, that as a hitter, it's like, okay, like, what do I expect?
Yeah.
What do I expect? I mean, this guy I know can throw hard, but can he just throw me off my mark just a slight a little bit, and then I'm done?
He started one batter later in the game with a curveball, and I went, oh, man. That's just not fair.
Right.
To your point, he has four pitches, but he really only throws two.
Yeah, the other two are what, 5%?
Yeah. So it's like 90% of the time he's throwing the fastball or the slider.
Right.
And the other 10, he's throwing that changeup and the curveball. I think you don't want to get away from your bread and butter, but you're right. As he gets older, as he matures, when he needs it, because he doesn't need it right now, can you see him throw the curveball 9% of the time?
Uh-huh.
Can he throw a changeup 8% of the time? Just to throw another layer of unpredictability out there. He's going to grow. At some point, he'll have a bad start. At some point, the league is going to punch back. That happens to everybody. It happened to Sandy Koufax. It's happened to Clayton Kershaw. It'll happen to this guy. It'll happen this year. He's going to have probably 4 or 5 starts where you go, oh, boy. They got him. They were on that fastball today. The league is catching up to him. How does he adjust? Just because that's going to happen doesn't mean that you need to worry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested, in fact, how he'll bounce back from his first bad start. It might be the next time out. We'll see. Some of the statistics I wanted to talk about, though. 98 swings and misses through 5 starts. 98! That's the 8th most in the pitch tracking era going back to 2008. So that's a long time. How about this one, boys? 4th pitcher since 1893. 1893. Grover Cleveland was president, by the by. Mm. His second term in office. 4th pitcher since that year to record 7-plus strikeouts in each of his first 5 career starts. So when we say things like historically good, that's not hyperbole. That's the facts. How do we feel like they used him yesterday in comparison to the first start? Do we agree with it? We'll talk about that coming up next. You can also vote on that Fan Morning Show Twitter poll as well, @_AdamCrowley. And Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
0-2, swing and a miss. He struck him out. Jared Jones looks like he's on another planet. This guy is unreal. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. David Bednar with the save. Jared Jones is the winner, and the Pirates bury the losing streak, and they beat the Brewers tonight 4-2.
We said it yesterday, Norm. You got to let him go. Got to let him pitch. Don't pull him early. Pirates in desperate need of a win. Needed to break that losing streak. Four-game series against the first-place Brewers. First division series of the year. It's not time to baby Jared Jones. Now, you and me were two of the only people who were defending the Pirates' decision to pull Jared Jones when they did against the Mets after 59 pitches. It is a little bit confusing to me, though, how you're so careful with him one start. I mean, he threw 59 pitches, 50 strikes. He was absolutely cruising. You pull him, and then the next time out, you let him go 91 pitches in high stress to where the bases are chooched for his final batter and the pressure is totally on the young man. And you say, all right, you've got the ball for the rest of this inning no matter what happens come hell or high water. The inconsistency is a little strange to me.
What inning did he get pulled?
He went six.
So he went one more inning.
One more inning, but 32 more pitches.
So it's basically just an innings limit for him. So it's like, okay, we're going to give you one more inning. I don't think it mattered how many pitches he pitched the other day that they were going to cap him off at five innings. Like if he pitched
right.
If he pitched 80 pitches, like it didn't matter. He wasn't coming out until the fifth inning. Like this start yesterday was like, okay, we're going to give you one more inning no matter how many.
You'll go six.
Yeah, you could have pitched 120 pitches. You're going to pitch six innings. So the consistency is there as I think through it with the innings because they upped them and they raised them a little
bit. I think that's dumb though.
Yeah.
Not that you're saying it. It's dumb that they would think of it that way. If in fact that is the way they're thinking about it. Because innings are made up.
Right.
I mean, it's a made up thing.
Right. There's no calculation to how many times or what's going to go on in an inning. I mean, an inning can last an hour.
Exactly. Not every inning is created equally. Yeah. And not every pitch is created equally, too. I do get that. A breaking ball is going to do something different to your elbow than is a fastball. And pitching from the stretch is going to be different than pitching from the windup. And pitching with guys on base and having to bear down is different than pitching with nobody on base. Like, I get all that. I think if you're trying to preserve a young arm, then pitches thrown would be more of an exact science than innings thrown. Not that either is an exact science. I don't want to be the guy that didn't complain after the 59 pitch outing and then going to be the guy that complains after the 91 pitch outing. I'm just wondering what the rhyme or reason is here. And I will say this. I think if you get into a playoff series with Jared Jones, Paul Skenes, and Mitch Keller, you got a shot to beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're also not going to get into the playoffs if you totally baby these guys. You need them to be able to go five or more innings when they pitch, or else your bullpen's going to get rocked. And so I will bring this back up again. And this is babying them in a different way. I think that I would go to that six-man rotation. That way you can keep the innings count down on a Jared Jones, on a Paul Skenes, but you would allow them to then go five or more innings every time. And you wouldn't have to be as worried because you're not going to make as many starts. I want them, when they get their opportunity, to take their turn in the rotation, to give everything that they can give. And I think the best way to do that is probably go to a six-man rotation, and you can be light on your feet. Mm-hmm. If Bailey Falter turns into a pumpkin, if he turns into the Bailey Falter he was last year, and really the Bailey Falter he was over the course of his career, well, then you adjust on the fly, and you go back to a five-man rotation. But so long as Bailey Falter and the rest of these starters, they've pitched well, continue to pitch well, I'd go to a six-man rotation. And I think that is something that Pirates fans could wrap their arms around. Yeah. And it's almost the compromise here.
Yeah.
Let them be them when they do take the mound, but also you can protect them by giving them an extra day rest before they take the mound.
Would the six-man rotation still be in effect if they do make the playoffs?
No. No. I mean, we'd have to count up the innings and the pitches and right. all that by then. But if they were able to make the playoffs, you're going Jones, right. Skeens, Keller, and then you see if you even, depending on how long the series is, then you might consider throwing another guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go, I would tighten it up come the postseason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could live with that. I like it. I like it.
I think it's the best available option to them. Instead of Jared, today, buddy, we love you. We need you. Today, though, pal, you're only going five. You might throw 12 pitches in five innings.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going five. Hey, Skeens, we're only going to let you go four today. That's not going to make any Pirates fan happy because we saw the reaction when they pulled Jones before. We were the only two people who weren't like mad. The spectrum was people were pissed or they were the two of us.
Yep.
There was nobody else defending it. There was nobody in between. It was either pissed or us. That's going to be the case when Skeens comes up times 10 because of the hype surrounding this guy. So what's the best available option at their disposal when your starting rotation has actually, surprisingly, been a strength? Just go to a six-man rotation. It makes all the sense in the world to me. And, you know, Skeens is getting used to pitching every fifth day now in the minors, and they want to be able to see if he can do that. Great. He's going to need to do that at some point. But we know he can go once a week. We know he can go every sixth day. So he should feel actually better about that if and when he comes up too.
Yeah, I'm starting to warm to it.
I just think it's so much better than pick a start here and there, and these guys are only going to be able to throw 60 pitches.
Right.
You're not setting them up for success.
Or your team
up for success. And Ben Charrington said this weekend that winning baseball games is still the most important thing. Well, okay, if it's the most important thing, find a way to let those guys be them every time they take them out. And it doesn't mean you can't dial them back from time to time. You do need to be thoughtful with the way that you approach these guys. If 6 days rest, you still find these guys are getting fatigued, okay, then you can adjust on the fly. That is the one thing that I do think they need to be better at, is that adjustment on the fly. Because they were married to the five innings against mm-hmm. the Mets. And the way he was dealing, they should have let him go long. They could, excuse me. Don't want to step on my own point here. They could have let him go longer. They're married to certain philosophy. You got to be more light on your feet. These guys aren't created in a lab. Both guys are different. You might need to treat both guys differently. One guy's built like a brick you-know-what house who 100 looks effortless, and the other guy, Jared Jones, it looks like he's putting every ounce of strength he has in every single pitch he throws. So just be thoughtful and able to move those goalposts on the fly. But I would go to a six-man rotation. What do you think? 412-928-9370. You can text us. You can tweet us. 412-928-9370. It's also the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Coming up next, the Pirates bats didn't quite break out, but two guys did look much better. And, whew, did they need to? We'll get to that coming up next. Text her at 412-928-9370. Can't go to a six-man rotation. You either lose one arm in relief, so you're down to six arms in the bullpen, or you lose a fielder, and McCutchen is already not a fielder. Yeah, that's a risk I'm willing to take, because protecting the bullpen, yeah, it is important, and I've said that a couple of times. If Skeens is not going to be allowed to go deep into ballgames, if Jones isn't going to routinely go deep into ballgames because you're protecting them in a five-man rotation, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You're either not protecting your bullpen because they're pitching too much when those guys don't go long, or you're taking a bullpen arm out of the equation because you're going to a six-man rotation. Either way, you don't put the bullpen in the best spot, but what way do you put your two phenom pitchers in the best spot? I think that's if you go to a six-man rotation.
Yeah.
One more text on that. You can't go to a six-man rotation. You don't even have five good pitchers now because you've got Quinn Priester. Point well taken. I think Priester could probably benefit from an extra day of rest, too. He's a young guy. You probably want to be a little bit more careful with him as well. But also, Marco Gonzalez is expected to pitch again for them this year. So don't rule him out of this equation. How about Kutch, though? Leading off last night with that bomb. Oh, boy, was that a sight for sore eyes.
Needed it. And especially the post-game call or post-game caller that we played yesterday with Dan Zangrilli. And Zangrilli calling the guy, you're insane. The guy just flipped out.
What do you have against Andrew McCutchen?
Right. So, I mean, that was much needed for Andrew McCutchen. It's nice to see him get out there and get that home run. 301.
His first home run at home this year. And I think it was a tone setter.
Here's the 1-1. Swinging a high fly ball out to center and deep. Perkins back to the wall. There it goes. Leadoff home run. Andrew McCutchen. For the 11th time as a Pirate, he leads off the game with a home run. And the Pirates have a 1-0 lead.
So I think that just sort of took pressure off the entire lineup. Oh, now I'm up and we got the lead.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie. When I saw the lineup, I went, what are we doing? What are we doing here? To quote Joe Starkey, because you've had Connor Joe be like your best hitter all year, and he's not in the lineup. You're not scoring runs. And my thought was actually to have Connor Joe lead off the game and be your leadoff hitter until he proves that he can't be. And he's a utility guy. If you're a good baseball team, Connor Joe's not playing every day.
Right.
But for the last 11 games, they haven't been a good baseball team. So get the hot bat in the lineup. Derek Shelton has been loathed to have Andrew McCutchen hit any lower than fifth in the order. And I think that's mostly because he's got a lot of respect for Andrew McCutchen. Not the way he's playing, but because he's got a lot of respect for him. Hey, what do I know? He leads him off, bang, home run. He goes 3-for-4. The one time he didn't get a hit is an absolute laser beam to third base. And Kutch looks like Kutch again. First home run, basically dead center field.
Yes.
Laces a ball to right field, rips a ball to the third baseman. When he's going good, he's hitting the ball to all fields, and he's hitting absolute missiles to the left side of the infield. His swings were good the game before. He looked locked in here. I'd throw him back out there again tonight.
What's the mindset shift from leading off? What do you guys think? Like, Kalas, what do you think the mindset shift is for somebody that has to lead off a game rather than, you know, bat whatever Kutch was batting before?
Traditionally, as a leadoff hitter, I mean, I'm going to take pitches and try to, you know, see them through and give the lineup, the rest of the lineup, a chance to see what the
guy's
throwing.
A look at the starter, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes, though, the hitters today are aggressive because now they know that the pitcher's just going to try to throw strikes to set a tone as well.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there is aggression as well. Maybe you'll swing first pitch. So it could be either one.
I thought that McCutchen was aggressive. And we know, I think the way that Shelton put it, I want to get it right, is he controls at bats because he is going to take pitches. He's got such an understanding of the strike zone. Coming into the year, I probably would have told you that Andrew McCutchen batting leadoff makes some sense because he had an on-base percentage last year, 380, which is good. He drew a lot of walks. He's not the speed guy that he used to be, but it hadn't worked out that way. Well, it just did last night. You go back with what works.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's one of the things that I have had a problem with Derek Shelton is he mixes and matches so much. He's obsessed with getting all 26 guys in there, using his entire roster. You need to get some familiarity with the routine. So I would throw the exact same lineup out there tonight. I don't know if a lefty or righty starting for Milwaukee, I'll check on that for you. The one exception is I might go Connor Joe instead of Rowdy Tellez, depending on who the starter is going to be tonight. But I would keep the lineup basically intact. And then I guess I would consider getting Henry Davis out of there because, oh my God. He's going to squeeze that bat in half, guys. It looks like he's holding that bat like it's going to turn into dust in his hand. He swings so hard at everything. He looks like he's trying so hard every time. 0-for-3, never in danger of getting a hit. He's hitting 172.
Tobias Myers, right-handed pitcher tonight.
All right, so I guess I would go with Rowdy Tellez in there. Because eventually he's going to have to start hitting right-handed pitching. He's going to have to start hitting at some point. I was made angry last night by Rhys Hoskins hitting a home run. And way back when, during the offseason, I said the Pirates should probably take a flyer on Rhys Hoskins, spend a little bit of dang money instead of on a Rowdy Tellez. Even though I like the idea of the Tellez platoon with Connor Joe, you could pay for a guy that hits 30 home runs. And what do we see from Rhys Hoskins last night? He draws a big-time walk later in the game in the sixth inning in Jared Jones' final frame, and then he winds up hitting that home run earlier in the game. That's neither here nor there. One more good thing to take from yesterday's game, and thank God, O'Neill Cruz 3-for-4
yes.
with a double.
Yes. Confidence. Needed it. The man, Shelton and Charrington, I think they gave him that confidence in saying that they're going to stick with him and let him work through his issues and not just send him down or say, hey, go work on things. We'll see you later. I think that he needed that confidence and hearing that probably from his manager.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And Shelton said, this is a guy that can carry us for a month when he gets going. And to hear that from your manager, yep. that probably feels good. If you're O'Neill Cruz, it's why I said yesterday I would seriously consider sending him down, but I'd probably give him 10 days or so. This is why you give him a little bit more time, because you see if he can swing his way out of it. And he did. The strikeouts have been terrible among qualifiers. He leads the league in strikeouts, but a really positive sign last night. He hits one up the middle, hits one the other way. And then he pulls a ball where he really didn't even get all of it, kind of off the end of the bat for a double. It looked more like the O'Neill Cruz that we were hoping for. And I heard Mueller talk in their first segment yesterday that some thoughts were creeping in, and I heard Starkey talk about it too. Is he really going to be the prince that's promised? Like, is he really going to be a superstar? I'm having those worries about Henry Davis as a 1-1 guy, because where's the excuse for him?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the reason for him? For O'Neill, I hadn't got to a point of legitimate concern because he missed most of last year. He wasn't going to come in here and carry over the spring training numbers and be this juggernaut from day one. So I'm not worried about Cruz, but it was kind of an exhale moment last night.
No doubt.
You weren't worried about him either, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
When you don't have a full spring, when you have a full spring training, but you're coming off of a year where you don't play, you're not going to come in and be consistent every day.
I do worry about the explanation from Callis about the leadoff batter and Cruz getting a bulk of his work at leadoff, and the explanation of how a leadoff batter does approach a game and sees pitches, kind of sets everything up and sees what a pitcher is going to do. I don't think that O'Neill Cruz is suited for that right now.
I love that point. They need to let O'Neill Cruz just be O'Neill Cruz. They seem to have this one-size-fits-all philosophy. We brought it up yesterday with Andy Haynes, which is see as many pitches as you can, try to get on base, get the starting pitcher out of the game early. Well, we've seen O'Neill Cruz take a lot of pitches early in at-bats, and then he winds up striking out because you're behind one and two or 0-2. He's not suited for that.
No, he doesn't know how to get out of it.
Right.
Well, I guess to
Kutch can. Yeah. And he has his entire career, and he did last year.
Just to add explanation to that, too, I mean, more recently, too, some managers have put their best hitter at the top of the order to apply immediate pressure to the pitcher. But it also seems like, I guess it's just my bias more often than not from what I've perceived, is that the hitters won't succeed as much, and then you're giving up an out early in games when you don't need to be.
And especially whenever you have a young player that's trying to get his feet wet again.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't really suit well for me.
The first time he's seeing a pitcher in a game, too, is that first at bat.
Yeah. Like,
ideally for me, hopefully this sticks with Kutch as a high OBP guy that he's been in his career, and he was last year with that 380 OBP. Have him be your leadoff guy as your DH. And when O'Neill figures it out, he would be in the three hole for me every day.
Yeah.
And with Brian Reynolds in between.
Yes.
Ideally, that's how it all works out. So the Pirates get a huge win. That's obviously important. Jared Jones is the next coming. My God. But there is at least one concern. We just mentioned another in Henry Davis. But there's at least one more concern we have to talk about from last night's game. We'll do that coming up next. And then we'll get into the draft talk with Jeff Hathorn at the top of the hour. The good news, the Pirates get the victory last night, snap that losing skid. Jared Jones is a phenom. There is some bad news. We'll get to that coming up in a minute. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jeff Hathorn joins us to talk Jared Jones and NFL draft. He was at that press conference yesterday. He'll be with us coming up in about 7 minutes here. The bad news from yesterday's game is, what the hell happened to Aroldis Chapman? Holy cow! So he strikes out the first batter. I was walking, so I was listening to it on the old Odyssey app, Doran. And I was encouraged because you hear 102, throwing strikes first at bat. And you can generally tell with him on that first batter whether or not he's got the control. He then walks the next three guys.
Mm-hmm.
He threw 16 pitches. He only threw four strikes. I am concerned. The strength of this team was supposed to be the bullpen. And we thought they'd score more runs. We didn't know if we believed in the starting rotation. The bullpen was supposed to be the strength. And here you've got David Bednar with an ERA of 10, and you've got Aroldis Chapman who's walking everybody and their mother. How concerned should we be about that?
Not at all. Too early. Too long of a season. Guys are going to go through their ups and downs, even with Bednar. I mean, we've done it with almost every single player, and then they've come through on the other side. I mean, even with Mitch Keller, you know, he came through, you know, the next game after we were like, oh, we're worried. And even with O'Neill Cruz, we're worried. Oh, just came through yesterday. Oh, Andrew McCutchen, he stinks. Bailey Falter, he stinks. Oh, well, you know, it just happens, right? I mean, the season is so long. You got to figure out a way to get in sync with everybody. And I don't know if this team is going to do that, but individually, I think players will figure it out whenever they're slumping.
Well, this was a worry with him coming in, too, was that he's a walk guy. His walk rate last year was among the leaders in baseball. His strikeout rate was among the leaders in baseball. You are going to get bad Aroldis Chapman performances, but you would hope that the good outweighs the bad. And given his track record over the course of his career, I think he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be something totally different if he was up there throwing 92, 93, 94. No, the velocity's still there. And with the age, I thought maybe the velocity ratchets down. We haven't seen that. I don't think that the control issues are going to be as bad as we've seen. They'll look not great at times, but I don't think it's going to be as pronounced as we saw it yesterday where, my God, he couldn't throw a strike. Callis, you had something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. He's still throwing 102.
Yes.
So that's important.
If a month from now we're having the same conversation,
right,
then yes, I will be concerned. Another good thing from yesterday, though, is David Bednar looks like he's back.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's back. We're good. Maybe Chapman needs to feel up his mom again. Maybe he needs to go back to that well. Maybe that'll help with the control. Okay. Coming up next, Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. He was at the Tom and Omar Khan press conference yesterday. We'll ask his key takeaways from that, and then we got to talk to him about Jared Jones. First, though, Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.